Right. Now, listen, fellas, we might have a new sponsor, so let's not have an episode that's the most inappropriate thing that we've ever done. I know the word's inappropriate as well, by the way. So, just Greeny, think it, don't say it. You got
don't
it, mate?
Don't talk to me about it. I'm very professional.
Debbie McGee's Five of Spades was all you're doing, don't you dare. Hello, welcome to the... Oh, I nearly said Max Show. No, the Big Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the big stuff in tech. See, I've forgotten that we did a big show. Sorry we haven't been around. It's just like guest meltdown at the last minute with people work and all that kind of stuff. But we have the fantastic Muller on bookings now. And look at it. We've got a full panel. We've got more panellists than we've got lines at the moment. So, well done, Muller.
Did you close the thing down so I can see?
No, because I'm using that for the screens.
Can't see.
You don't need to see. Oh, never mind. Don't you start, you baby boomer groaner. baby groaner, there we go.
Baby groaners.
We're here to discuss all the big stuff in tech, all the big stuff that's gone on, all the shiz that's happening. And joining us off, top left, it's Camps.
Evening.
Mate, how you doing?
I'm good. Busy. Really, really busy at the minute.
Oh, but, no. Have you had any more genius thoughts?
More genius thoughts for what, sorry?
For the weekend? Getting the tunnel under the vaulting horse to come up the other side of the wire. You know what?
Not yet. Not yet, but I've got plans. Well, let's just see if I can pull them off.
What, the plan? The plan or the person?
Good job you didn't add the person into that.
No.
I've got a bloke, let's see if I can pull him off.
There's some project delivery going on at work at the moment. The fact that things have gone well may mean I don't get to the bash, but I'm going to try and work around it. We'll see what we do.
In my head, I'm just going, oh, I know, you've done it there. See, new sponsor. Right your ear, mate, and hope you can get this weekend sorted.
Yeah,
next to
crossed.
Him, it's Ad Hoc Jeffrey, mate. Skype. I can't believe that Skype hasn't upgraded for iOS 12 beta.
Yeah, I know. What a surprise. So, but I have an iPad that's running iOS 11, so that's now dangling off my main display, and I have my travel mic plugged into it. Then here we go.
That came up too quick. That looked like a massager, if you know what I mean.
Massager.
While we're trying to stay clean, let's avoid the word dangle. Eh? There's a good fella. look at this. The bloke with the beard. The streak's back. Where you been,
Hello.
Man? I hope you've got a note.
A note?
A note from your mum, yeah.
I can probably conjure something up, if nothing else.
Good lad. How you been, pal? We'll see you in ages.
Pretty busy. Changed jobs again about 7 months ago, so now I'm working shifts, and such is life.
Excellent, mate. Glad to have you back. Superb that you're here with us. Yeah, good. You're coming back a bit more often, aren't you?
Yes, if Mr. Scheduler Mother there is at it, I believe I'll be attending at least.
There'll be, from what I understand, it's a shift issue, so there'll be like a run of streak,
a streak.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'll be, and I'll be on call and other fun stuff like that. So hey, who knows? Maybe I'll get called out in the middle of a podcasting session. Weirder things have happened, if yet not often.
Yeah, mate, we'll be good. And Greeny looks like he's in the tack room, or he's in a dominatrix dungeon bondage type thing.
It's a very weird room. The kids call it the yellow room because it's all painted yellow.
Right.
And it's a bit spooky, I will be honest, and it's a very strange room.
And it's
I chose this room because I thought I'd get the best light in it.
Have you put Ghost Hunter 2 on and done a suite for ghosts?
Yeah, I haven't yet, but I probably will. So, yes, it is what it is. I am so excited about Bash.
Yeah, it's really the Bash. Am. Yeah, definitely. Now, you've got your beard's got a bit longer.
I know. I need to trim it.
And there's a comment here that you look a bit Tony Stark.
Tony Stark?
I don't really know who is that?
Iron Man.
Iron Man, you muppet. Downey Jr.
Oh, really?
I'd take that as a compliment.
Is he good looking then?
Well,
obviously.
Robert Downey Jr. is a good looking bloke, yeah.
He used to be.
I'm not saying I would, but he's a good looking bloke. I can appreciate a good looking man. I might.
You know, I don't know, on set, if he sort of, he bends down to pick up the soap.
Plays his cards right. yes, it's the Bash this weekend. This is the last big show before the Bash. We've got a Mac show tomorrow, and there are people who are watching the show who are going to be in the room with us tomorrow. So we've got to figure out a way of getting the camera up high and starting to broadcast from there. But the Bash weekend starts tomorrow. Magic Man's coming up for 9:30. Ian and I are going to go out and do all the shopping in the running around. Then we're going to pick Muller up at lunchtime. We're going to come down here and prep all the office and tidy it up and stuff and get ready. Then we're going to take the car back and come back here and start drinking while we wait for people to turn up. And then there's a few people coming here for the show, and then it's the curry, and then, Saturday will be the Bash, the World Card Cutting Championships, loads of fun. The football is going to be on a massive screen, so we'll have the football on. And we might even see if we can get the qualifying on playback or whatever. But the qualifying will be on at my house in the evening, so we could watch that anyway. And then it'd be great. Be good. And then Sunday, it's a barbecue. And best luck to Bald Scott, who's lost his tickets for Silverstone. And Silverstone have said, F off, we're not giving you any more.
Oh, dear.
Poor lad's got £1,000 worth of pit lane tickets, and he's screwed. So I hope he finds them. Good luck, mate. If not... It'll be on at my place with a barbecue on the Sunday afternoon.
I know this is a sort of tech show. What's your thoughts on the football? Do you think we're going to do it?
Well, it's a game I don't know very much about, so my opinions of it are flawed, and I haven't enjoyed some of the games that I've watched so far. They looked a bit pedestrian, a bit boring. I've been sitting there going, "Come on, hit it!" There's not enough first timers. There's not enough first timers from about the 18-yard box. When I was a kid, if it dropped to your feet and you had a bit of a, even like a small window to the goal, then they do fit. But they don't do it anymore.
I've got a bit of a man crush on the captain guy, though. He's awesome, isn't he?
Harry Kane. You want to muff him?
I wouldn't exactly go as far as that. But,
is that a sponsor-approved word? Is that a sponsor-approved term?
No, probably not. I might have to bleep that. I'll give Muller credit for this, is that he did put in the Slack room earlier on, Irishman, Welshman and Scotsman walk into the bar. They would have had an Englishman, but they can't because he's at the World Cup. I like that one. Well done. And last but by no means least, talking of the booking clerk himself, Muller.
Executive producer,
my apologies. I need to put that on the show title stuff at the end, don't I?
Get it right.
It's actually gone pretty well this week. I was expecting an absolute horror show this weekend, but you've done an absolutely sterling job, mate. Congratulations.
Well, as I said to you, I've not gone mad yet. I'm going to try and bring people in slowly and start rotating it.
Well, no, the job is getting people to come on the show, and judging by the look of this, there you go, there's a whole pile of people on the show. So job done, mate. You don't need to go mad.
All right.
Do this every week.
I'll get there. I've got plans. Big plans.
Batwinch says she wants more women.
I've got plans.
Don't we all, Batwinch?
As we've just proved, this is a this is a metrosexual show, mate. We have no tolerance issues this side at all. Whatever you've got, flaunt it.
I did approach a woman, but she's got an injunction out.
Yeah. We need to find women that haven't got harassment orders against this network first.
That explains why it's just guys.
Just guys, yeah. It's an all-sausage network at the moment, which is not good. I do grant you. But Charlotte Henry said she'll come back on. We just need to figure out the invite and get it sorted. So
you just need to give me an email address.
Give me her address. I'm not giving you Charlotte's
address.
You see,
that's the problem.
I can't do it without that address.
It's fine. We'll be okay. The Week in Tech, all the big stories, all the shiz that's gone on. Who's got her story?
Me!
Well, you got to get in the Slack. Oh, Camps beat you to it, mate.
Okay.
Oh, you absolute...
How many of us had this story?
No, it's all right. So I've got a window, and it says, do you want to go to the window and broadcast the window? I said, yeah, absolutely. And it's open bloody Chrome by default. Instead of opening Safari. How do you set Safari as the default thing? Preferences.
Go into the browser app preferences.
Set default. Use Safari. There we go. Jordan. Bennett. God, this slow show is slick. You can see why people would want to sponsor us, can't you?
But we have charm. We have so much charm.
Well, Jeff, that's a really good point. And most podcasts, they don't have the charm.
And Streak thinks that your charm goes down less and less the more you call him Jeff and not Streak.
Oh, well.
Here we go. It's on. The Mac Pro, it's working. There we go. Right, Camps, I'll edit, don't worry. Microsoft details secret pocketable Surface device in leaked email. Tell us more.
Yeah, so a bit like the Hokey Cokey. It looks like the pocket, the Surface phone or the pocket Surface has been in and out of the news for quite some time now. And according to this story by The Verge, according to a leaked internal document, the pocketable Surface Pro running the rumoured Andromeda, or codenamed Andromeda, is potentially a thing. And according to the story, what this device looked like, and they look like according to some of the patents and therefore the concept drawings that have been created on the back of it, looks like it's potentially going to be a dual screen with a foldable hinge in the middle, of a phone sort of size proportions. Just I can't see any measurements from what I've seen, but just looking at some of the pictures I've seen on this and other stories, I'm going to say it's around the sort of size of the Samsung SA or the iPhone 8. But with a hinge down the middle, dual screens, pocket Surface device with stylus functionality, and I thought this, I don't know what I'm doing trying to swipe the screen on my Mac here. I think this looks an interesting device. I don't quite know what the device is. I don't know whether it's aimed at being a phone as well as a, or if it's going to be a really tiny competitor for something like a notebook or a Chromebook type scenario, if it's a competitor in that market, if it's a phone competitor, if it's both, is it Microsoft edging the bets again? So that'd be an interesting one to talk about tonight.
Does that picture that I've just put up, that looks like a foldable OLED screen.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think it is, Ewan. If you look right in the middle, I think there's a hinge in the middle. I think it's two screens. I don't think that concept picture. When you look at some of the other concept pictures out there,
I don't think it's a screen
in the middle. I think it's two screens with a hinge down the centre of it.
It looks like it separates, though, as well.
Mm. Yeah, it looks like it does.
Oh, my life.
Oh, no, so no, I don't no, know. No, I'm not quite sure what this device thinks it's trying to
devices.
Be.
It if, doesn't separate. No. Sorry, Camps. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not quite sure what this device is potentially trying to be.
Oh, so what they've done? Here we go. So they've taken the curved technology off the Samsung, and they've just made it so that the two screens edge together on the curve, so it looks like one screen. That's clever. That's very clever.
That's clever. True. Yeah. Obviously, this is all concept based on patents. These aren't actual images.
Well, a patent doesn't mean anything, does it? Because it's who's excited? I've got to say, see, now, this is the thing. If Microsoft, and we do know a lady at Microsoft, if she was to ring me up and say, "Look, would you like to try a Surface for 3 months?" and gave me one, I'd leap at it. And that's how. Just watching Grumpy Bob's comments in the chat room. And a few other people...
I'm using the Surface Pro at work and I love it.
Yeah, a lot of people who are Mac people have said they love the Surface and I'd really like to try one. So if you're listening, Microsoft, I would love to try a Surface. Please send me one for review.
My Surface experiences have been less than favorable. But this whole Andromeda thing sounds really interesting. And Microsoft's a company that just keeps hammering away until they get it. So maybe this is the time to get it. But I've been hearing other reports that the whole project may not actually come out.
That was on the news.
Or at least not for a while.
Yeah.
I think one of the key things for me is, Jeff, around what this device is trying to be. If it's a modern-day Nokia communicator with an OLED keyboard essentially on the other end, and a small screen at the other side for people commuting, things like that. Yeah, I can see how that would work. A very mini laptop almost type thing. I could see how that might work either in the business market. I can't see it working as a phone.
And to be fair, it's not. There's nothing on the render there, and it is only concept. But it doesn't show that it's trying to be a phone. But I don't see why it can't be.
Yeah,
I mean it's no worse than the old Genardery type stuff, so the flip open ones. What was it? The N-Gage?
Yeah,
they used to flip open.
Yeah.
Though?
Yeah.
If we turn the clock back less than a decade, there was something very similar to this made by Toshiba. I believe it was called the W100. It was also dual screen like this, and I think it ran Windows 7. So the concept has been tried. Didn't exactly do super great, but I would say it has potential at least. I mean, especially not Microsoft might be putting their energy and effort behind it.
Right.
Especially if it runs Windows 10.
Yes, something that's much more designed and built for touch input rather than Windows 7, which was, if I'm to be honest, rather uglily bolted on, really.
Yeah.
Toshiba Libretto.
Libretto W100, I think, yeah, that might be the name. Yeah. I'm pulling stuff out of memory really hard now, but I think, yeah, something like that.
Oh, bugger off, yeah. Git.
There is a startup that's done a Scion 5 type device, haven't they? I'm just trying to find it.
Ooh, Scion. Well, that's a name I haven't heard for a long time.
Well, it's kind of a Scion. It's got a phone in it. I'm just trying to find out. I can't remember what it's called.
It's the Gemini.
That's
made by Planet Computers.
Yeah. It was a Kickstarter. Can't find the link.
We went through a whole pile of netbooks as well, didn't we? Sort of 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those weren't phones, and they weren't tiny computing devices. And then go back to the 90s, and I had an HP Jornada that had or a Compact that had the ability to make a phone call as well as. I'm pretty sure it was a Jornada.
Well, I forgot about the Jornada.
That was a classic. I mean, it was a beautiful device. And it was the first one that had the scribing, so you could do an A and an N and that kind of stuff, and handwriting messages with the stylus.
Mm-hmm. See, that was Windows CE, if I remember correctly?
Yes.
Yeah, it might actually have been before that.
Oh, wow.
No, it was Windows CE.
Yeah.
Mm. When it comes to palm tops and all that, I am God. I know it all. Test me, I don't care. So
on that basis then, Will, what as a palm top, what do you think of this device, if this device becomes a thing?
I don't know, wait and see. I think Microsoft have sort of lost it. They went from sort of the king of the tree, didn't they? And now Apple have sort of taken them over. And I wish them well with it, really. It's nice to see experiment with new form factors, devices, just new OSs. I think it's great. So I wish them well. I really do.
I think, well, for me, one of the most interesting parts, it'd be interesting if, I don't know if Bob wants to put something in the chat room about how it's used where he works. So what I've seen where I am, and we're starting to use Surface, and I've seen the interaction between the Surface Pro, the Surface Book, and the Surface Hub. And if you imagine that, for anybody who doesn't know, the Surface Hub is essentially a huge digital whiteboard with video, conferencing capability, internet connectivity, all links up and saves into OneDrive. It is really, really slick.
Right.
And I think that's where I'm an Apple user at home. But from what I can see that Microsoft are doing in terms of that concept, in terms of collaborative working in the office, and you can use your digital whiteboard, obviously, just across the internet. Well, that for me works really, really slick. And I think that's why Microsoft in the corporate world might be trying to get a bit more of a foothold and really push down that route rather than just in the desktop stuff.
It's you got a feeling though that, Microsoft has got such a negative cachet type that they need to change their name.
I don't know if that's true, Will. I think you're immersed in a Mac world a little bit with that, and I am too.
I didn't say that.
No, I think the people that own Macs do naturally think negatively of Windows, but you go outside of people who are Mac users, and there's a lot of people thinking positively about Windows, but they may not be thinking positively about PCs because there's still a whole pile of shit that's being made and farmed out cheap in PC world and that kind of stuff. But you won't find a lot of people who use Windows on a regular basis to say that it's crap, or I haven't found anyone that slagged off the Surface. Not a single person slagged off the Surface.
No, I think the Surface is a fantastic device. I won't slag it off. And also, I think Windows 10, I think they did themselves damage with Windows 7. But Windows 10, yeah, it's a great OS.
I just want to defend Greeny there.
With 7, I didn't think 7 was that bad. I think 8 was a huge screw-up. I thought 7, or certainly how I used 7, it worked. There was nothing particularly bad about it. And I think 10, I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a Windows fan, if I'm honest. I use it at work, and I use it at work because I have to use it at work. I'm all Apple outside of work, but I'm enjoying using 10 on the Surface Pro.
When you first got the Surface, Chris, were you, love this, or, oh, this isn't shit?
No, it was, I love the form factor of it. I love being able to pick it off my desk, and be able to use the stylus. Feels really nice to be able to make notes in OneNote and things like that. So that's, before I'd even used it, I thought, I think I'm going to like this. Right. But the big negative was, but it's still Windows. As I've started using it, I'm enjoying it. Yeah. And I'm comparing that to a HP underpowered laptop running Windows 7. That's where I've stepped from, Windows 7 on HP to Windows 10 on a Surface Pro. But I'm enjoying it from a work point of view. Would I want a Surface Pro at home over my Mac? No. I should say over my sister's Mac, because that's what I'm having to use until I get mine sorted.
Chris, can I ask, as a complete imbecile when it comes to Microsoft products, not deliberately, it's just, you know, nice time and stuff. So the pen comes complete with the Surface package. You don't have to buy extra.
Yeah, it's an extra. Everything's extra. So as I understand it, so you buy the screen, you get the power pack. That's your Surface device. And then you buy the keyboard, and that's an extra. And then how I've got mine set up at work, there's a docking station type hub. That's another £180. You've got the stylus. That's another £99. It's an the complete kit. It's expensive. I don't think you're probably talking not too far off Apple prices.
Right. Okay.
Magic Man's adding in one of our architects uses Surface Pro as it can run a full version of ArchiCAD, which doesn't work or hasn't been produced for iOS and iPad. So I think it is just a case of if you're a Mac user, it's hard to see Windows positively. But I'm excited about the idea of using one. So yeah. And Bob says, the Grumpy Bob says, the Microsoft Store has often really good packages as well. Always look for those. So, he got his Surface Pro complete with the keyboard for $350 off.
How does it compare to a Chromebook, though, I wonder?
How would it compare to a Chromebook? Hands down better, I would have thought.
Oh, yeah.
Chromebook is...
It's a totally different experience. A hugely different experience.
Yeah, Chromebook's great, but it does a very specific job, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does what it does brilliantly. Yeah, good story, mate. Really good story. Excellent. Who's Greeny? Go on, put your story in the chat room. Are you not in the chat room?
I can't get the bloomin' chat room to work at the moment. I have tried. So I'll just tell you what it is anyway. A BBC Computer Literacy Project. I'll bring you the link. So I love retro computers. I love the history of computers, and in this this project comes from 1980 to 1989. And there's 267 programs you can watch for free. And just thousands almost of other content. So if you're into computers and you're into retro computers, including, we discussed Cyan earlier, but the BBC Micro and the Spectrum and, you know, everything else. It's just a great site. It's free and it's totally made with love. So it's the Computer Literacy Project from 1980 to 1989.
Okay, you delivered that like it's a cool thing. What's the discussion about it? Do you remember it? Is there a...
I think it... Okay, my discussion point, I suppose, is computer history is relatively a new thing. If you look at literacy history or whatever, or architectural history, they're old things, but with computer history, I've got two young children, and I want them to learn about the goals and the progress that we've made since, in this example, since 1980, in our route to here. So I'm sitting in front of a Mac, and it's just amazing. Or you could be sitting in front of a Surface, but you have to put it in context. And I think for me, whether they like it or not, I will sit my two children down and I will say, watch these 267 programs of history of computers. And I think it's a legacy, and I'm very proud to be British. And I think we're one of the greatest developers of software and hardware in the world. So from hardware, I would give it to Apple, but for software, I would give it to...
There's an interesting piece in that article, though, that on the BBC webpage in the Media Centre that says, there's a guy who says, everyone I speak to, the BBC Beam microcomputer formed the start of their careers. And I just wondered how many people here actually... I mean, I never owned one, but I used a BBC B Micro at school, and we did a traffic lights thing with it and that type of stuff, which was beyond me actually a little bit, to be honest, because I wasn't very good at computing. But there was tons of cool stuff that you could do with it. How many people here started off with a BBC B? And is there a US equivalent, Jeff? That's a good question.
I don't think there is. So you guys totally own this.
ZX81 was my first one.
Well, yeah, no, the one after the ZX81 went across to the States.
Well,
ZX81.
There was Jupiter. I had to build that myself, though.
What was the one that came after the Spectrum had finished?
Amiga.
No. The Sinclair. There was one that
Commodore.
He released that was... No.
Oh, the Spectrum.
There was another... No, after the Spectrum, there was another computer that failed, and that went stateside.
The Quantum Leap.
The Quantum Leap, that was it. The Quantum.
Yeah.
Quantum.
At one point during this particular period, the British sold more computers to the world than any other country. We were totally rocking that. But things balance out. You can't win all the time, can you? And, you know, I am a great admirer of Apple, as you know. And a great admirer of, like, Commodore as well. I mean, they were brilliant. The BBC computer was made by Acorn, who were sort of quite famous.
They were based in Birmingham.
Acorn?
Yeah.
Acorn transformed itself, didn't it, into... aren't they the processor people now?
ARM, yeah.
ARM,
they went to Cambridge.
Yeah.
Because Apple had an office on Hagley Road as well before they were famous, right next to Acorn.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
yeah. If you look at there's a picture of the QL, and that's a hell of a keyboard, isn't it? Well ahead of its time. No, it's well ahead of its time. It was £399, according to this, which is interesting.
Pretty expensive though.
I had a Sinclair Spectrum, and I used that, and I had a ZX 81 as well.
I think in 1984 I was earning £40 a month, and I was not badly paid.
In 84,
I can remember £40-50 a month.
That's not bad. That's about what, 200 quid today? I saw something.
Which is a lot more than that.
I was still at no, I wasn't school. I was at sixth form. You grumpy. Yeah.
Probably equivalent to about £16,000-17,000 a year.
You grumpy baby boomer.
Remember the ZX81 though, and you had to put a tape machine on it, and then you had to watch for 10 minutes, and if you made one knock on the little patchy pack on the memory pack at the back.
Yeah, that was...
Start again.
You go through
good times.
Two or three minutes of it loading, and then it would just crap out and you'd say syntax error on your first line after you click run or something.
Or you typed in some of a magazine.
Jeff, what was your first computer?
My first computer, I didn't actually own, but I got special access to it at school, and it was a I think Commodore made it. It was the PET 2001.
Yeah, we had a Commodore PET 4, a Commodore PET 4K at school.
It was, oh god, I loved that computer.
Little tiny screen on the top of the keyboard and. The computer.
Yep.
It was the first thing we had that played Space Invaders.
Yeah, and always freaked out about did I get the cassette tape fast-forwarded to the right place? Was it going to overwrite something I'd already put onto the cassette tape? Oh, good times.
Used to, and that was the thing as well. So like Philip Gould around the corner from me, he had a ZX81 and a Spectrum as well. And we used to sit and copy the tapes across. But you'd find that the audio quality wasn't quite good enough on on some of the tape decks. And then you'd find like the one that actually worked.
It was the oldest. Like,
well, no, it was the oldest, and it was something that was part of a hi-fi system or something. And it would just do it, and it was the only one that would do it so you could copy the games.
But
first lot of piracy.
The first computer I actually used was actually the Birmingham City mainframe. We used to use it on a... like a great big telex machine, and it used to have punch tape. Literally tape.
Magic Man had a Spectrum. Bob Beach said he had a Vic 20. Forgot about that one.
Vic 20.
Batwench said she had a Dragon 32, followed by a BBC Micro.
I thought Bob's
and Magic
made
Man
of brass.
Also had a Commodore. Yeah, the thinking engine.
The Dragon was great.
Bob, did you break the Enigma code, mate? Is that you? Were you one of those people? Sorry. Go on, Greeny. Sorry, while I wait for Bob to explode.
Just a bit of trivia. The Dragon was made in Wales, and the government of the time gave Dragon a load of money for a particular program to count the amount of sheep that they had. And...
the first thing he said, you're asleep.
The jokes break themselves.
It's really true. So they gave out Dragon computers to farmers in Wales to record the amount of sheep they had. Christ knows what difference it made, but there it is. So there's a bit of trivia for you.
Bob's saying that he's not that old, but I know for a fact that Bob wrote some software for a bloke who had to count animals, and it only had to go up to two. It was perfect for binary.
He failed then, because if you read the Bible, they didn't go on 2x2.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for explaining my joke to everyone.
I'm sorry
for
spoiling your joke. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're thick of intelligence, then you needed an explanation. Muller's just provided it. There you go. Street. What was your first computer, mate? You're going to say something like a Lenovo.
I'm not that young. No, I just look young. No, actually, I started my career on the Commodore 64.
64. That's well in. That was a gaming platform, wasn't it? Really.
Pretty much. But the main, I learned BASIC as far as that was possible back then. Sadly, never got into assembly, but that would have been cool. But going back to the BBC Micro, I mean, I studied the history of it, and it's an incredibly influential machine. So without that, I just would say that the whole world of computing would look radically different by now. I mean, elite the like prototypical awesome game that came out of Britain back in the day.
Yeah.
That was the BBC Micro, at least in the beginning. So, I mean, that's a pretty freaking awesome thing.
Yeah, no, the Philip Gould also had a Commodore 64. And we used to play Daley Thompson's Athletics on there, and you had to pound the keys to run. And he's, I can't remember, I think it was over the right-hand side of the keyboard. It was the MNN key to run. And we broke those, so his keyboard stopped working because we were pounding him constantly doing it. And then you had to pound those and then hit return to get him to throw the shot put and that kind of stuff for the decathlon.
And joysticks, I mean, you just had to get the joystick and give it as much as you could.
Well, he had an Atari as well, and he was a bit of a rich kid, actually. But he had an Atari, and he's you held it, and you put the thing between your fingers and did that to do the running. And then I turned it over, and I started shaking it like a rattle, like a bell, to get it to do it.
The trouble with the joysticks, then, they were only four parts, weren't they? So there was only about four or five positions where the actual thing moved.
Yeah, yeah.
I think eight was uncommon. Because I remember taking one apart and just going, it's just a switch.
Well, no, because so your eight axis movement was actually by pairing two. So you had up, down, left, right. But if you did up, right, and you put the two down, then you'd get diagonal motion. But more often than not, what you did was actually get one going, not the other. So it went the wrong way.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it was hard to get the two to go.
Can I share a really boring story?
It hasn't stopped you so far.
I know. When I was a boy, I've always been a computer. And so I took a joystick apart and I figured out, okay, well, they're just switches. So then I got a Kellogg's cereal box, took it apart, covered both sides with silver foil, and I replicated it four or five times and made and connected the joystick switches to it. So I made a burglar alarm so I could tell people sort of opening the door or walking up the stairs. And so I wrote a program on my 48K Spectrum, and then it would show me where somebody had triggered the switch. So there you go. I don't use that story particularly when I'm going out on a date or something like that, but I can share, I think, amongst geeks, can't I?
Well, if the woman falls asleep, it's technically rape, I think. So that's why you shouldn't use it. Yeah. God, blimey, Greening. Magic Man says, has anyone still got a BBC Micro? And we're throwing this open to emails coming in, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Email us if you still got your old computer and it still works.
My ZX81 still works. My Spectrum turns on but tends to cut out.
I've got my 81 and my Spectrum at my mum and dad's. I need to find it. And I've got a Binatone gaming console as well.
I think Spectrum's got a thermal problem. It gets warm and then it cuts out and then comes back on again later.
Sounds like something with a capacitor somewhere, if you ask
me.
Mr. Batwinch has still got his Acorn. Acorn Electron that still works.
That's a really cool piece of computing history, actually.
I think I've got one of them in the cupboard as well.
That's awesome.
I think I've got one of them in the
cupboard. Grinny's gone. Where's he gone? He's left the tack room.
Maybe he was drug off by whatever is in that dark, dark basement.
Oh, no, Batwench has got the Electron. You said Drew still has his Acorn. Oh, does I still have an Acorn? So Mr. Batwinch has got the BBC Micro, and Batwinch has still got the Electron.
The cool thing about the BBC one is that the schools had them, and then there was a TV program that went with them, wasn't there? On the Beeb.
So they actually learned code.
Yeah, so you could actually go and watch that and then go to school and play with it.
The bloke that used to... the guy from Tomorrow's World used to do
one
it?
One of them did, yeah, very dry.
And then there was the guy that did the swingometer. Did he do it?
No. They were both sciencey. I can't remember. I'll have to look. There's a load of YouTube clips.
Well, if you go to the Computer Literacy Project, all of those clips from those guys are there. Oh, well, the whole program, not just clips, the whole program.
What is a computer? What does it do? What is this new computer, the personal computer?
It's life changing. It's changed my life.
Certainly reminds you of tomorrow's world when they were punting all these ideas that have never come to pass.
Yeah,
I remember seeing. What was his name? Kieran Stan.
I remember
he said this is the future of offices, a Velcro desk, and he couldn't put it together because it was live. And it was just like.
Oh, and that kitchen there
can
had
go
as
up
well.
In minutes.
The kitchen of tomorrow.
You look at the safety department, the BBC now. If you made tomorrow's world now, you'd have to make it in an insulated box in the middle of a field. You'd never be able to do it in a studio at the BBC in Wood Lane.
What was the woman on it? What was her
Maggie
name?
Philbin, Judith Hann.
Judith Hann was the first
Michael
one.
Michael Rudd, Howard Stapleford.
Michael
Carol
Howard Waterford, Stapleford, that was the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
Anna Ford, Kate Humble, and Richard and Raymond Baxter.
Raymond Baxter started it. He did it on his own, he carried it. And they demonstrated the first bulletproof vest on there, live. They shot a bloke in the chest with an apron on, live at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Good God.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
We're going to shoot you in the chest.
They shot him in the chest with he had this apron on. It was like a lead apron that you'd use for X-rays or something 50 years ago. And he had this this big apron on, and they shot him smack in the chest. And it was probably about 4 inches thick. And the first usable bulletproof vest.
Why on earth did they do that? Christ.
Well, it's the thing. It's just I did work at the BBC a long, long time ago. I'm going back 20 years. I was talking to one of the blokes about, I was on a safety course with him, and he said the best thing about the BBC is, he says, all of our screw-ups, we've got them on film. And they got people who burn down studios, they got people who set themselves alight. They got, do you remember the Doctor Who one where the girl's in a tank and she's drowning? And
she's actually drowning.
And she wasn't actually drowning. There was two guys sat above her, and they hadn't done it for a safety reason. They just got these two guys sat above her to help her get in and out because she couldn't get in and out by herself. And the glass broke at the front, and it was just normal, you know, thick glass. And if she'd have gone through it, she'd have been shredded to pieces. But they grabbed her under the armpits and lifted her up, and she only got a few cuts on her toes.
Well, there's John Noakes climbing up the Nelson's column as well.
Yeah, we saw it the other week. Yeah. And the other one was there was a death on Bergerac. And the thing was, this film crew had got a Ford Fiesta that had gone off the road as part of an accident in the filming, but it had gone off it and actually killed one of the people in the vehicle. And the BBC still used the footage in the final show that went out on Saturday night. They just cut it a bit earlier. You're like, God, blimey, that's harsh.
Yikes.
Wow.
BBC was a great place. Fantastic place to work. Absolute rabbit warren as well.
Did you work at the top end, you know, the one...
I was at Wood Lane. I worked at Wood Lane.
Okay, right, yeah. Brilliant.
But you used to get loads of, you just walking down the corridor and what's her name? Who's the opera singer? Oh, God. Garrett. She'd walk past you or something, or then Paxman would walk past you. Great, good stories, good times. Good story, Greeny, actually. I thought that was going nowhere.
Yeah, you were. You could.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Jeff Streak, have you got a story for us?
Yeah, I picked up on something earlier today, actually, over on good old Ars Technica. Might be something that Jeff can help me a bit with, because it's about the charter. Apparently, they think that throttling video over mobile to 480p is something you should be doing in the year 2018. I just found that to be a bit interesting.
Oh...
Charter launches mobile service that throttles all video to 480p on your Retina screen.
Yeah. So like, hey, welcome to DVD video type quality. So, all right. What's their reasoning is my question. Like, do they really not have enough capacity in their networks to supply all the people with slightly higher quality than that? Or what's going on here? Like, could it be something else perhaps in hiding in the background that they want people to, you know, pay a bit more money or something, maybe.
For those of you that have got the ITV app, that's the quality you're getting already anyway, so don't worry about it. It won't make a difference. The ITV app is a frustrating and hurtful and loathsome piece of software, worse than Sky Go. But Chart Communications launched its mobile broadband service, and it's throttling all the video streams to 480p. Most people actually won't know, though. That's the sad part.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Comcast is being kind and letting existing customers get to 720.
Mm-hmm.
That suggests that new customers will get less.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the spokesperson there, like, HD video is not currently an option for Spectrum Mobile. I mean, why do we have LTE, which I assume that they have? Isn't that kind of
the
point?
We do have LTE. Yeah. All right, so I have a hypothesis here.
I'll go for it, Jeff.
And it's a two-part thing. The first part is that I think a lot of the wireless networks that we have in the United States, they talk bigger than they are. So they have a limited infrastructure, but they're promoting it as more than it is because they figure not everyone is using it at the same time.
Right.
So if they allow higher quality streams to go through, that's going to tax their system in some way, or they anticipate that it will. But then I think the other part is that this is a setup so that when they decide they're ready to start marketing higher quality video, they now charge extra for that.
Mm.
There's nothing done altruistically by cell service providers or content providers in the United States. Everything about it is to just squeeze more money out of us.
I was saying to you guys before the show, I was working at Birmingham Wholesale Markets on Tuesday morning at 2 o'clock, and even with hardly anyone's site, that section of Birmingham has only got a 3G network. There's no 4G that I could receive at all. And I'm stood there and I'm saying to this guy, oh, I'll show you this video. And I'm thinking, well, I got five bars of 3G. This should work just fine with the video. Wouldn't play it. Just took forever. Just spinning and spinning. I'm like, how did I exist without 4G? I don't remember how. And you think you go back to the Edge network or worse. And you think,
oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
My God, how did that work? Unless they've just, you know, no one's on 3G as much anymore, so they've just killed the network for speeds. But it was a true horror show.
There is 4G there, because I get it at Aston, that's only around the corner.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. I couldn't get anything inside the shed. I was on building. 3 networks as well, but yeah. No, the building's a bit of a Faraday cage, but the outside, even then I couldn't get 4G.
Because I have to walk outside Aston Hall, because the walls...
Yeah.
It's like a castle.
Yeah. what's the reputation of Charter like in the States then, Jeff? Are they well thought of, or are they just a bag of hurt?
None of the services have a good reputation.
None of them, right, and okay.
None of them do. So Charter, it's just the same as all the others. Just a service that people assume is going to do everything it can to take advantage of them and find new ways to nickel and dime every single week.
Yeah, Bob Beach is saying the ITV app is utter crap. Thanks, man. We've agreed on something tonight. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
No, I'm glad that we've all found something to agree on tonight. That's wonderful. It's beautiful.
You download the ITV app and tell me what a bag of hurt that feels, mate.
It won't work for him.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It won't work for me.
File sizes were much smaller, says back then, says Magic Man. Thanks, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, bits weren't as big.
They came in letter form.
Packets, yeah, the actual physical
packets.
Here's
a thing.
Yes,
here's a thing.
Go on then.
When I was working in Switzerland, you know, on Sherlock, and you know the bits when he goes into his mind palace and the little bits of texts pop up. That's not hard-coded into the video. So when you're in a different country, it translates it to a different language based on your location.
Was it like SRT file or something, yeah?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. But it's,
yeah, something like SRT.
Hard-coded.
Cool. That's worth knowing. Thanks, mate.
it's not worth knowing. It's
good
all,
story, Street. Jeff, you've put thousands of Android apps are leaking your data through to their Firebase back end.
Yeah, and it shouldn't happen, except that some developers have actually gone out of the way to change the Firebase configuration for their app so that it's wrong, and that means data can leak out of it. So Firebase is a back end that developers can use across multiple platforms for database storage for their apps. And if you just leave the settings as they're supposed to be, it's fine. But a lot of developers haven't. So there's a lot of sensitive personal information that is very likely leaking out to the internet because people haven't bothered to configure their apps correctly, which just sounds awesome.
Interpret this graphic for me here, because this is saying percentage of those people vulnerable by iOS, 8% are vulnerable on Android, 46.5% are vulnerable on iOS.
Yeah, okay, so what you're looking here at with these numbers, it's based on the number of apps that are using Firebase, not based on the total number of apps available. So so this is a subset of apps. And so, yeah, it looks like there's a higher percentage of apps on iOS that developers have configured wrong.
But the sample is lower. So the sample is 21,000 Android apps, whereas the sample is only 945 iOS apps.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But still, that sucks for those those developers. Well, for their customers, because they've completely screwed up the database settings.
I mean, is Android still going to be just a, you know, well, tough shit, it's Wild West, have at it, there's no controls. But I'm surprised that Apple hasn't blocked those apps in the pre-approval process.
Well, I don't know if there's a way to catch that in the pre-approval process. I mean, if there is, you can bet Apple is updating their screening so they will catch something like this in the future.
Right.
And then for Android, the screening process is completely different and a lot more lax. So I think that we're likely to see problems like this persist.
Hmm.
But okay. Google did send out notices to all the app developers that have their Firebase settings wrong so that they can do updates and fix it.
Good to know. Good to know. So these things are secured by default, though, but...
Yes.
The developers are left them out. Surely there's an algorithm or a check that can be run software-side, or server-side, that'll just check whether this thing's been closed off or not.
You would
before it's submitted. Even though there's no approval process, when it's submitted, there should be a crawler that goes through and detects. This is Google for a start.
Yeah, they know everything else about everything else. You think they'd be able to catch this.
Question from Batman, do Android have a screening process? I don't know that they have a screening process, but they should, but B, you know, something like this that's known should be closed out via that, because it isn't.
From what I understand, the Android app screening process is reactive.
Yeah.
So
if you get a problem, then
you get complaints about an app, then they go and check it.
Right. Yeah. Excellent, mate. Good story. Thank you very much. Is that all the stories?
I've got one.
I forgot all about you.
I know. I'll let everyone go. It's EU's controversial copyright law has been rejected by the EU Parliament. So I know that Green's got something to say on this.
Explain the laws to us then.
But he's doing. You pinched it.
I did not pinch it.
You had a discussion at the start, and you kind of gentlemanly-like backed away, Greeny. So take the kudos and go on. Explain the story to us, Miller. What's so controversial about this law?
Well, it's not the whole law. It's just a couple of aspects of it. So it's Article 10 and Article 13. I think 13 is the really sticky one, where they're putting the onus on checking for copyright material on internet providers and websites. So that would actually may even impact yourself. So if one of us put something on Slack or on the Facebook page or on British Tech Live, it could actually come back to bite you. And what they're saying is that's just not fair. And also the Creative Commons was affected. So although the Beatles, well, one Paul McCartney seems to be supporting this law. It's basically saying the critics are saying, well, in that case, he wouldn't have been able to do half of his back catalogue. Half of it's copied anyway.
Yeah.
So it looks, for once, the EU have got something right and they're going, look, we're going to have to rethink this. So it's been pushed back to September for now. But I think the Pirate Party, are they Norwegian or Swedish?
Swedish.
Started, aren't they, So they've been involved. So I'll hunt you over to Greeny then, because he seems to know a little bit, and that can come back.
Oh, no, no, I know nothing.
No. So it wasn't the story then.
But I have an interesting, and McCartney, and if you look at the amount of stuff that they ripped off in the Beatles era.
Let's just be sure that that's allegedly.
Oh, okay, allegedly.
Yeah.
But if you look at the White Album, things like that, the amount of stuff that they took, which I think was mainly Lennon, to be honest with you, but there was a lot of them using, pinching different sound bites throughout the whole of the Beatles catalogue to influence them, to give them creative push, and it seems a bit wrong for me to McCartney to say no. I support this legislation, and I think that's wrong.
The I mean, the essence of this thing is as well, though, that it's software driven, isn't it? That's the thing, is it's going to be an algorithm that runs and will identify preemptively stuff, much like YouTube does. But YouTube doesn't do it very well, I have to say. There's odd things that have come up for me, but I've had music that I've put on that I've purchased from suppliers of stock music, and every time I've challenged, they've gone, oh, sorry, a mistake. And it's like, how did you get this wrong? And there was one that was like a set of bagpipes that I used on a thing that I put up for a drone, and it says, this sounds like What's Going On. Is it Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? And I'm like, it's nothing like, it's a set of bagpipes. For it's like, and it was just like, that's got nothing like Marvin Gaye. But the algorithm was adamant.
Well, didn't Google's had an algorithm just a couple of days ago say that the US Declaration of Independence was racist?
No, it was Facebook, wasn't it? No, that was Facebook.
Was it Facebook? I knew it was one of them.
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah.
The Facebook algorithm thought that there was hate speech and racist overtones in the Declaration of Independence, which, based on the fact the place was riddled with slavery at the time, isn't a bad shout, is it?
Well, no, I was trying to read.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
I was trying to read.
That's quite perceptive, really.
Yeah, trying to read which bits it was blocking, but you couldn't tell.
Yeah,
it was something to do with the Indians. Native American Indians was the big thing they objected to.
So it's about Jefferson, wasn't he? But at the end of the day, he was British. So.
Yeah, no, it's...
But this Article 13 could actually make memes illegal, because by borrowing themes,
someone else's image,
images and whatever, at the moment you can use it under fair rights, under fair use, can't you?
Well, fair use isn't a global thing, though. It's just it's a caveat in DMCA.
But you can use it as mockery, can't you, if you're taking the mickey or something?
Yeah, parody is an exemption, yeah.
So I know that's not allowed in America, I think. I don't think parody's allowed there. But
no, parody is the clause in the DMCA that allows it. But it's there's no parody exemption in the UK. As far
this says copyright for creativity, so could destroy the internet as we know it, as Article 13 would possibly.
Mate, if we lose memes, it's not the end of the world.
Well, some of them are okay.
Yeah, but they're just light entertainment. They're not. They're not, it's not specific, is it? It's not life-threatening or anything.
The irony is that there will be a meme about losing the memes, but no one will get to see it.
Yeah. Life imitating art, imitating life.
Yeah, for me, it's a really good point. But, you know, like, if a young guy or a young girl is creating a video and putting it on YouTube and decides to use a bit of music to sort of inspire or add colour to the video, that rule would have stopped that. It would have, you know...
Yeah, the thing so that's that kind of good in the YouTube algorithm is the fact that if you're not... ticking I want income from this, then it doesn't kind of care. The problem comes when you tick I want income from this, that it starts to get really vociferous and you get allegations of theft against you on your account.
I think that's fair, but as far as the sort of a creative medium, a video medium or audio medium, and they stop using music that would inspire or enhance your video, then that seems wrong to me.
Well, I think the other problem you get is if you talk about images that are taken. So, you know, 1,000 people go to Pisa and take the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Who's going to decide on who owns the copyright of that? Because there's no copyright on the Leaning Tower of Pisa anymore. And everyone's image is their own. And my image, you know... people cluster and take images from the same positions. If I pick the same focal length as the bloke next to me, then how's the algorithm going to tell us apart? It can't. Mm-hmm. That's why it doesn't work. It's an ill-thought-out law. You know, this is really important, let's deal with it. Okay, yes, it's really important. Yes, you need to deal with it, but you're not thinking about the logistics of dealing with it. You're just getting your... You know, you're going up in arms, but...
Well, I think fair play to the EU. I'm not a massive EU fan. but I think they made the right decision.
We're not laughing at you, Grinny. We're laughing at the fact that Grumpy Bob has changed his name to Grumpy Bob in the chat room. Good on him. It's like the 12-step program, Bob. Recognition's the first step. Well done, pal. Good story. Copyright is a tough one because...
My field.
Well, you know, I'm someone who values his copyright, and I've had people say to me, well, you're a photographer who doesn't take any photos. No, I just don't put the photos I take up online that often because they're not mine to put up for a start. I've taken them for someone else. And I don't have the rights to put it on Instagram, and Instagram then have all the rights for that image, so I can't put it on. Or they go, you know, you haven't got a Flickr page. I had that on a photo podcast a few years ago. You know, how come you haven't got a Flickr page? Because I'm a professional photographer. Well, I'm a professional photographer. I've got a Flickr page. Yeah, but I want the images to be mine, not a Flickr's. So I don't put them up. Plain and simple.
Is it to transfer the rights of that photo if you put it onto Flickr?
If you look at all of the social media platforms, they will tell you that they have free use of that image, rights to it, and that they are free of copyright challenge to its use. Mm-hmm. So, and that could include selling it, which... I think it's not on, but none of that's been dealt with. The copyright is the most complicated form of law, I would say, outside of probably trusts or something like that, and even then maybe.
You want to see crazy complicated law? Come to Colorado and look at water law. It's insane.
Okay.
Is no that thanks.
like who owns water and who has rights to water? And people come from all over the world to study the water rights laws in Colorado.
Right. I won't.
We don't have rights to most of the water in our own state.
I'm not coming to Colorado to...
We'll go and get pissed instead. Well, as
boy, are you missing out.
We'll go and get drunk on Spirit and gin.
Oh, yeah. Come on out.
Do that instead.
We're doing a Spirit Hound road trip. It's going to be wonderful.
Right.
Okay.
Are you bringing me some over in August? No, because you've got...
I'll check and see if I can fit that into... Or if it's okay for me to put that in my carry-on.
If you've got... No, it won't be. You definitely won't.
Oh, then no. I'm sorry. I'm not bringing you a bottle.
Sounds like Amazon.
All I'm bringing with me is a carry-on.
On request. Yeah, no, it's over 100 mil.
At least a photo of the water.
It's no, because that would breach the copyright of the person who owns the water. And you haven't asked the water if it wants to be photographed either. That's another
thing. What he could do is just drink the water and bring it with him.
Yeah. And then recycle.
I'm sure you would just love pre-drunk Spirit Hound gin.
Let's move on quickly before we get we ruin any possibility of sponsorship for the future. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by, thanks to Telestream.net, who have given us the fantastic piece of software Wirecast. We are using it now. I've got a bit slicker this week at using it. We've offloaded the screenshots of the web pages to the Mac Pro that's picking it up and dealing with it and transmitting across using another piece of Wirecast software called Desktop Presenter, which is free that you use with Wirecast, which helps you transmit from computers so your PowerPoint can come up behind you and that type of stuff, and you can cut away to your PowerPoint. Incredibly powerful piece of software. Really, really cool. Controls pan, tilt, and zoom cameras, all of that stuff. Absolutely brilliant. If you'd like to know more about Wirecast, then go to telestream.net and have a go. If you've got a sports venue, a place of worship, or you want to do podcasting, then you can go and get yourself a piece of that software and have a real good stab at using it. It is unbelievable. We've used it since version 4, and they've been supporting us since version 4. So thanks ever so much to Telestream for supporting us again, because it makes a world of difference. My Uniku glasses are still not here. They're in Mark Culshaw's boot. Now, I'm hoping he's going to surprise me tomorrow and just turn up during the Mac show and say, ha-ha, I've got these for you. But I've got a horrible feeling he's not as well. This is me wearing my test pair, my Harry Potters. Did I tell you that someone...
put the mickey out of you?
Yeah, they said, I showed them the picture and they said, you look like Harry Potter's mum and Hagrid's love child. Bastards.
Wow.
With a bad paper round. But those are my real glasses. Those are the ones. And I've got a grey pair as well, a tungsten pair that I'm going to use on the shows. And I wanted Mark. We've got to get together, buddy. I need me glasses, man. Really hope you're surprising me tomorrow. Really hope that you're surprising me tomorrow. And news on the server front, we might have someone that will step in, but I don't want to say too much because I don't want to scotch it yet. At the moment, we're still being hosted elsewhere. So, right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Campo.
Okay, just get a copy of this link. There we go. There we go, in the chat room. So,
it's an Amazon link. Oh, that means I'll end up buying it. Jesus. I'll say £2, that'll do.
I was around at a friend's house and I think he'd just been up his loft or something. He had he had it clipped onto like his t-shirt. And it's in a little sort of a rubber magnetic clip-on, little torch, but the cool thing is, I've got a couple of these. Cool thing is, it lights up, and just push the button, see if you can see that without blinding you. Quite a bright white light, a red light, if you can see it on the camera, or a flashing red light as well. So the cool thing I liked about it is, yes, if you're in the garage, you're going under the floor, you need something just to clip on the lapel that gives out a decent torchlight, then great. I bought these from a running point of view, particularly when the dark nights come in, when it gets to winter, clip them on the back of my shorts when I'm running down the road, just shove it on the red flashing, and people are going to see me. £2.19 each. They took about 2 weeks to arrive. I think they came on slow boat from China. But they work really, really well. The magnets are pretty good. Just sort of, I'm going to tuck these sort of down the sort of the back waist band of my shorts as I'm out running. But they work really well, and the torchlight's pretty good off them as well. So yeah, only cheap. Looks like I've not taken the back off him yet, but looks like there's just a watch battery type thing that you can shove inside them. So really easy.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that. Nice one.
Cheap as chips.
Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
I have a new webcam that I've set up in my place. I had a camera set up in my hall so that I could see if anyone was breaking into my place. And the camera that I had, it turns out that it was never turning off. So it was recording what it should, but then also everything else. So I was like, all right, that one's out. And I went on the hunt for something else that would do what I wanted. And Wyze, they make this thing called the Cam Pan. So it's $30.
Wow.
And you can rotate the camera remotely, 360 degrees. And then, actually, it's 259 degrees. As in, you'd have to spin it the other way, but to get your full 360. And then the camera will also tilt up and down and left and right. So you have total control over what the camera's looking at. And it does night vision, has a microphone in it. And this thing has been perfect. I set it up with IFT so that when I'm home, it automatically stops monitoring. When I leave, it automatically turns on. And they have Amazon Alexa support coming very soon now. The price is fantastic. The image is great.
So can you use it as a webcam as well as? Or is it just a security cam?
It's more of a security camera. Right. It's doing kind of a fisheye thing. Like, well, hold on, I'll bring it up on my phone.
Hang on a sec. Let's just find you.
Let's see.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, it's very wide angle.
Yeah. Hold on. That'll get you a better shot. So, anyhow.
Just tilt it up. Tilt up.
There we go.
Tilt it up. There we go. That's it.
Yeah. So now you can have that. That's my hall and into my living room right now.
And your Mac SE.
Yeah, it still works too.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I can't get over the price, £29.
It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. They have a smaller sized one, same size lens, but smaller size body that is like $19, and it doesn't turn.
Can you drive this one via the internet then and just watch the remote picture and get it to move?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you can. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely impressive.
It's unreal.
I can't get over it.
Yeah, no. Great pick. Absolutely top pick. I'll be skint after the end of this show, but well done. Streak, have you got a cool thing for us?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite pieces of technology I bought this year. It's the Apple Pencil. I'm sure people have mentioned this before, but I cannot get over how good of a stylus this is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm using it with my relatively simple this year model iPad, but my goodness, this is a great little stylus.
Yeah, it is. And do you like the shading bit as well when you turn it on its side and the pressure sensitivity?
Brilliant.
Is
stunning. I can finally do stuff I haven't been able to do like since school, basically, when it comes to arts. I'm not saying I'm very artistic, but I just love doing it. It's fun painting, coloring, whatever. Graphics, basically.
I've got to say, just behind me, and we might have a bit of a roving camera going on tomorrow, so I'll try and show you tomorrow on the Mac Show. But behind me, the unit behind me has been leased by an artist, and he's using the end wall because he wants to do some test pieces of drawings and paintings. And he said, to get a canvas this big to do a test on would probably cost me about £280. He said, got the wall, I can just paint it white and then paint on the wall and see what it comes out like. And he's done two pictures of some guys at the end that are just unreal. They're beautiful. And I said to him, but it's all right, you've got a talent. He said, I don't get why people don't paint. He said, it's dead easy. I went, yeah, but that's because you've got talent, it's easy. And he went, no, he said, it's just paint. He said, all you have to do is just keep putting the paint on until it looks right. And then, if it doesn't look right, paint over it. Okay. And I've got to say, I've had a go with drawing and with stuff like that where I just keep drawing. I just keep drawing. And I have got a little bit better, I swear.
Now, that's the wonderful thing about it. I mean, keep at it and you will improve. And these tools and the right app, I must kind of emphasize. I mean, the wrong app, it really feels sluggish and it really takes a lot of the fun out of the painting, but with the right app, It's good and responsive. Awesome stuff.
Brilliant. Good pick, mate. Like it a lot. Greeny boy, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I bought a record player the other day, and I thought my children wouldn't know what a record player is.
All right.
But I was given a first press edition of Rubber Soul, Beatles. And so I said to my little boy, I'll go look, put this record on. And my boy pressed play and started scratching with it. I was going, no!
God. Wicked, wicked, a whack around the head.
Well, anyway, that's the story. But for youngsters out there who haven't had the pleasure of vinyl, there is a tech alternative. I'm afraid it is a Mac related one, but I'm sure they do a PC version too, and that's Virtual DJ 8, and it's a really good color. It there is inbuilt purchases, but you can pretty much do what you want to do and sort of get used to mixing tracks between the two.
Excellent, mate. Cool stuff. Nice one. And last but by no means least, Muller. What have you got for us?
Mine is actually goes on for my last one. After the Ribby new lot gave me over the canal maps, I had a look on the App Store, and there's the Open Canal Map UK, and it uses your GPS and everything, and it's absolutely perfect.
You don't get laid much, do you, Miller?
No, but I cycle the canals, and it's good, and it shows me where I am, and I've found myself some nice new roads.
Did you just say the Open Canal routes?
Alpen Canal Map.
Not Alpen. Don't mispronounce it, otherwise you'll be thinking...
Open Canal Map. Open
Canal Routes, yes. There we go.
So it's a map of canals?
Yeah.
It's a map with the location of canals on it and access to those canals and rivers, yeah.
So anything that you can stick a boat on and move around the country. And so it's very good. If it's like the motorway of Britain of the 18th century.
Forgive me, I thought I was sad. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I do a lot of cycling, and I find it rather dangerous on the roads. Well, I can cycle up to Dudley, and I can come back, and I found myself
on
some
the
new
canals,
routes.
Yeah, that is a good idea, definitely. And it's free.
And it's not surprisingly. And you get it on the iPad as well if you got small eyes, or bad eyes,
or a big stand. I've got an iPad stand for your bike. I've got one that takes the iPad Air. Yeah.
Oh, flip it out.
Cool. Go on,
so Greeny. How is cycling in a canal gonna?
I'll clarify that. I don't cycle in the canal. I use the towpath.
Right.
I don't understand what you're going. I'm just trying to get fit. I'm a big boy who wants to get smaller.
Okay, so. You sort of mowing down pedestrians as you cycle down the towpath, or
no? I have got a bell, and I politely ding my bell, and they make way for me.
the ladies like it when he dings his bell.
They do. You give them a quick tinkle, and off they go. Dog walkers are the worst because obviously they've got their dogs, and the dogs are unpredictable, so you've got to wait for them to get the dogs under control. But,
okay. that's cool.
It's better than your pig.
So as you're cycling in a towpath, and people are jumping out of the way while you go down.
Yeah.
You tinkle your bell.
Yeah.
And then are you running over the dogs or chuckling?
No, I wait for them to get their dogs under control, and then I cycle past them and thank them very much.
Okay.
We've gone chopper vision. He cycles 22 miles, but 21 of those are going round dogs.
Yeah. And I didn't do so many today, but I did 35 the other day, and I nearly did Nearly did 70 on Monday.
Magic Man says, who's at the bash on Saturday? I am. Muller is. Greeny is. Campion probably is. There we go.
So we only need one table then.
That's four sixths of the panel are there.
Backwench.
Three quarters.
She wants her present.
Backwench is there. She wants it, yeah. Drew's going to be there and you're going to be there, Magic Man. So.
Have you got the catapult for Backwench's present? That catapult we had before.
I don't know what you're talking about, but never mind.
The Angry Birds one.
And tomorrow, right, this is a special treat. We're going to have a live Mac show here. There's going to be people here sat around the conference table that I've got in the middle of the room there. And I'm going to set up me wireless HDMI system so we can cut to their shot, if you like, around the table. It'll be really cool. And we're also going to put up one of my Sentry cameras. Anders has created it, and it's sentrysystem.co.uk/BTN. So it'll be up here in the studio, and you can watch the show with us on the camera. You only get a picture every minute, though, so it's not a very good show, really.
You should know if we're hot or not.
Yeah, we are stinking hot in here. It's still, I mean, what is it now? 10 o'clock, and it's still stinking hot in here. Mm-hmm. Where can we get a hold of you, Camps?
You can get me at Camping UK on Twitter, Camping UK on Instagram, and in the chat room.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much.
Slack room.
Yep. If you want to join the Slack room, then all you've got to do is send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com saying, let me in, and we'll let you in, and we'll have a chat, and you better behave, otherwise we'll throw you out again. Jeff, where are you, pal?
I'm hanging out over at macobserver.com, and I'm on Twitter, jgamut, and Instagram, same thing, and on Bucketload Podcasts.
Magic Man said that his girlfriend's worried that she'd be the only woman there. There's loads of women there, mate. It's the only time we can drag the women out because we've got the kids with us, you see. So that's the reason for having the kids, so it's not a sausage fest.
And we got Batwench as well. I'm definitely running now.
If she catches you, you're a dead man. Street, where are you, buddy?
You can still catch me over my very inactive website, streakmachine.com, and otherwise I'm under that same name on Twitter as well.
Cool. Nice to have you back again, mate. Please come again soon.
Pleasure to be back.
And Greeny Boy, pay attention, mate. Head up.
Sorry.
Where are you?
I didn't think anybody could see me, man. I thought it was all dark. Is it dark? Can you see me?
Yeah, we can see you. Just tell us where we can get you, pal.
Well, you know where we can get me.
Well, yeah, but the listeners may not. So.
BritishMac.com.
Thanks, mate. Blood out of a stone. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We have got a load of stuff going on this weekend. If you want to come along, you can still come. Don't worry. Send me an email and we'll sort your ticket out. Hope you have a great week, but we're going to have a massive weekend at this end. So we'll see you all after the bash with hangovers. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.